Today I want to talk about trouble as we continue in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. And not just the trouble that everyone experiences, but especially trouble as Christians experience it. Anyone here experience any trouble since they became a Christian? Maybe I should ask, anyone not experienced any trouble? Someone once asked Christian leader Bob Mumford, what is the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life? Mumford said, well, that's easy. It's trouble. And you know, it's true. Those who take seriously the call to follow Jesus will encounter trouble. Inner trouble, battles within our spirit. Outer trouble, conflict with other forces around us. Not that there isn't, of course, countless blessings in following Christ, but trouble is also a part of the package. Jesus himself was very clear about the trouble his followers would encounter. Some of the truths he taught were, you know, he kept them hidden in parables and sort of obscure sayings, but Jesus spoke very clearly and very openly about trouble. In me you will have peace, he told his disciples. In the world you will have trouble. John 16:33. Catholic writer Michael Scanlon says this short sentence that from Jesus in John 16 contains the two most important truths about trouble. First, we will experience trouble. There's no getting around it. And secondly, and more importantly, in me, you will have peace. Now, Jesus didn't mean here that we'll have peace and then we'll have trouble, or we'll have trouble and then we'll have peace. He meant that we would have peace and trouble together. You know, we need to know that peace is not the opposite of trouble, nor is peace necessarily the absence of trouble. Peace is the deepening relationship that we have with Jesus as we go through trouble. Now, I've seen, and some of us have seen, an amazing example of this in our dear sister, Joan Cooney. As Dawn prayed this morning, you know, as she faces these late stages of cancer, in the midst of her deep trouble here, she radiates the peace of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. And so our challenge in any kind of trouble is to embrace both peace and trouble at the same time. That's what we see Joan doing. I've seen others do it because they have the peace of Christ. In fact, embracing peace and trouble together is, I think, a pretty good definition for our daily walk as Christians. So one of our first challenges in living with trouble is to see where and how trouble fits into our lives, because in this world we will have trouble. Now, last week we started into 2 Corinthians and began to have a look at the Apostle Paul and the trouble he faced in regard to the leadership in the Corinthian church. He was the founder of that church. He was the father of their faith, and yet he had been rebuffed. He'd been criticized. He was rejected by them as a leader. And though God had called and equipped Paul to be an apostle and a leader, you know, trouble just followed Paul everywhere he went. While he was away in Ephesus, Acts 19 tells us that there a citywide riot broke out over his ministry. And there his very life was in danger. And so Paul found himself unwelcome in one place and endangered in another place. And so he went to Macedonia, where he had already faced violent opposition. And there he sat down and he wrote this letter to the church at Corinth that we call 2 Corinthians. But Paul's concern in all his troubles here was not for himself. It was for the church. He was anxious about these false apostles who had come into Corinth there, were rejecting him. They were preaching another Jesus. They were trying to project an image of personal strength and competency, you know, to prop up their own claims to apostleship. You see, they believed that real leaders were never weak, they were never sick, they were never vulnerable. They were supermen. Later on, Paul even calls and refers to these guys as the super apostles, tongue in cheek. And so Paul starts his letter in verse 1, affirming that he himself is indeed an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So why then, in these verses that Phil just read to us, verse 3 to 11, why then does Paul go on to give them an account of all his troubles and his weaknesses? Why does he so openly reveal his personal trials and struggles and hardships to them here? I mean, these were the very things that these Corinthian leaders despised and ridiculed. Why does he tell them in verse 8 that he was under great pressure, far beyond his ability to endure, so that he despaired even of life? Now, we don't know exactly what was going on that Paul was referring to here, whether it was an illness that he suffered, that's possible, whether it was the persecution that he experienced. It could be either or both. But Paul went through a terrible time that God did deliver him from. But is Paul trying to win their sympathy here by telling them his troubles? No. Because his opponents in Corinth would just say, well, what kind of leader is this guy then? I mean, real leaders never despair. Real leaders never get depressed. This guy's not a leader. But Paul wasn't going to play down his troubles here. He wasn't going to play them up either. He's just being honest. It was the truth. And so Paul doesn't hide his troubles here because his understanding of leadership didn't require him to hide them. Unlike his rivals here in Corinth, Paul didn't feel that he needed to project this false image of a, you know, to support his claims to apostleship. He wasn't ashamed of his weakness. He understood the paradox that when I am weak, then I am strong. And so he says, yeah, I was in big trouble. I was in despair. But that's not inconsistent with Christian leadership. Trouble, in fact, is the stuff from which real Christianity is made. And so in these first 11 verses here, Paul's going to explain now the positive features of his troubles. And he's going to give us some insight ourselves into why we can look at our own troubles as tokens, not of defeat and failure, but as badges of honor. And we're going to see three positive results here that can come from our own Christian troubles. So the first positive result that our troubles can create is a sense of community. Now in verses 3 and 4 here, Paul talks about two things. He mentions two things over and over here. Trouble and comfort. Those two things. He praises God as the God of all comfort, who he says comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. Trouble and comfort. Now his word for comfort, for trouble here, or maybe affliction in your translation, literally means stress or pressure. Something, you know, that ties a knot in your stomach, makes you anxious about tomorrow. Something that pressures you uncomfortably, threatens your well-being. And I think we all experience that at times. Paul seems to live under this kind of stress and pressure all the time. And then his word for comfort means encouragement or strengthening. You know, when the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as the comforter, it means the strengthener who comes alongside us. And so God's comfort to us is his provision for, for the trouble and affliction that we come up against, or whatever it is that puts you under stress. And so the idea here is of one person coming alongside and encouraging another to give them strength for today and hope for tomorrow. So the positive side of trouble is that it can bind people together in community in a way that success and prosperity never can. The need brings people together. And I think we'll find, we know that even when there's small trouble in the community, say there's a bad storm, or there's a power outage or something like that, people will come together to share their mutual concerns and their frustrations, and they will support one another. When it's big trouble, like a bereavement or a serious illness, when we need the consolation of others, it's a real relief to hear someone say, "I've experienced the same thing. I know how you feel." So when we share our own pains and struggles with others, what we're saying is we're saying, come on and walk with me in community. Let's share this burden together. And that's often what troubles can do from a Christian perspective. It's the very thing that generates ministries of encouragement among us, isn't it? Ministries like Open Arms, ministries like Joy Fellowship, ministries of care and counseling. Why do these things come about? Well, people have been through some difficulties, and they see others going through trouble, and they want to come alongside and help. People helping others. And so this is what Paul is really up to here in revealing his troubles. He's sharing them. I mean, Paul was a brilliant guy, strong-willed guy too, I think. And, he could have been a really strong, independent, self-sufficient kind of person, and he probably was by nature. But God's been working on him. Instead of saying, how strong he is, he says, God has put me through this time of trouble here so that I might have a ministry of encouragement among you. I've been there. I've failed. I've suffered. I know what it's like. And he also says, God didn't give me his comfort just in a bucket for my own benefit. He says he's given it to me in a pipeline so that I can pass it on to you. And so Paul wants them to know that those leaders they've got there in Corinth, those false apostles who never admit to having any troubles, well, they might seem impressive, they might look pretty good, but they don't make very good pastors. You see, it's those who can testify to how God has helped them in their troubles that can have a real ministry to the distressed people in the congregation. We have this saying around here, every member a minister, and I see it coming more true all the time. And I see some of you ministering powerfully to others, just coming alongside and doing this very thing. And it's awesome. And it's something I think we all need to think about. Maybe you think your Christian life is a bit of a mess, that you've got problems, you're so aware of your own inadequacies. You think that you could never be a comfort or a counselor to anyone else. But maybe you've never realized that the problems and inadequacies that you've struggled with can be the very qualifications that God is looking for. The very things that can help someone else. So there's a leadership strength that we can come by only through weakness. Our own troubles and inadequacies can be a source of comfort and a ministry of strength to other people. And when we understand that, that's when we can begin to see our own troubles in a different light. So one of the positive truths about our troubles is they can create Christian community. They can bring us together to minister one to another. Now, a second positive outcome here is that your Christian troubles can also link you to the experience of Jesus Christ himself. Look at verse 5. It says, "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." What does Paul mean here? Well, Paul sees everything through the lens of the gospel. He sees his own suffering, he sees the suffering of Christians, the suffering of the church as being very closely linked to the experience of Jesus himself. And for Paul, his own troubles are actually an echo of what Jesus experienced on Good Friday. And his comfort is an echo of what the resurrection meant for Jesus and for the world. And so he sees it as a great privilege to participate both in the victory of Jesus and also in the sufferings of Jesus. In fact, in Philippians 3:10, he says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings." So no wonder Paul was not embarrassed to admit the extent of his troubles and distress. He saw everything through the lens of the cross of Jesus. But those false teachers there in Corinth, I mean, they left no place for the cross in a believer's life. And this is something we need to think about too. There's teaching in some churches today that we would call triumphalism. It says that God intends health and wealth for all. If you're sick, well, you just need to claim a healing because miracles should be a daily feature in Christian living. If you're poor, you should just pray in faith for more money because it's God's will that everyone be materially prosperous. I'm not saying God doesn't bless people often, but often people get hurt with this when they're not healed, when they continue to struggle financially, other things going wrong in their lives, and then they're told that either they don't have enough faith or that there's hidden sin in their life. I think that's maybe not too different from what was going on in the Corinthian church. I do believe, don't get me wrong, I do believe that God answers prayer and that he is looking for faith in us. But prosperity teaching is off base because it leaves no place for the cross in a believer's life. There is a place for trouble. And God wants to use it. So the comfort of Christ is totally connected to the sufferings of Christ. Paul says in Romans 8:17 that we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So you can't enjoy one without some experience of the other as well. And it's all part of the paradox that Paul keeps drumming into us here. The strength of weakness. When I am weak, then I am strong. We can only be raised when first we've been willing to die. So our Christian troubles also link us to the experience of Jesus. The third positive result of our Christian troubles is that they have a purpose. They really do. They have a purpose. You know, when trouble comes to us, our first instinct is usually to ask, why? Why me? Why is this happening to me? And it's just part of human nature. Even atheists, you know, who believe the world's just ruled by chance and random events will ask, why? Why me? You know, well, why not if it's all random? But there's something about suffering that demands an explanation. We want to know why. We don't always find out. And you know, nobody wants to suffer unless there is a really good reason for it. Unless there's a purpose that's greater than the pain. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "And to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." So it is part of the package for us if we follow Christ. And it's really the suffering of Jesus that helps us to see our own sufferings as positive rather than just in a negative light. Jesus suffered for a purpose. His death on the cross achieved something. Something wonderful was accomplished there when Jesus went to the cross. Salvation for men and women. His suffering was redemptive. But as writer Roy Clemens says, Christians living in the light of the cross have the enormous advantage of being able to interpret their own sufferings within the framework of divine purpose. That there is a connection with Christ's sufferings and ours as Christians. And so because of the cross, we can say, we really can say, God works all things for good. Even when we don't understand. And that's what Paul did. He saw God achieving something through his own trials. So what did his trials achieve? Well, he points to three things in particular here. First, they had a purpose for helping others. As we've seen in verse 6, Paul says, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. When you think about it, who hasn't been inspired by the testimonies of people who've gone through great trials? I mean, think of people like Richard Wurmbrand, you know, in his book, Tortured for Christ, and all that he endured, and yet his faith triumphed. That's inspiring. Or Johnny Erickson's story, you know, her battle against great physical handicap, and yet her faith is amazing. That's inspiring too. And it's such testimonies from those who've endured suffering that can really strengthen other believers when they're going through things. And those who get what Paul is saying here will believe that it's just then, it's just when we feel weakest that our usefulness to God may be its greatest and most purposeful. God will use it. Well, a second purpose for Paul's troubles here we see in verses 8 to 10. They weren't only for other people, but they were for his own benefit as well. And he speaks there of the hardships he suffered in the province of Asia, of the great pressure far beyond his ability to endure, despairing of life, and feeling in his heart the sentence of death. I mean, it's hard to get feeling lower than that. What had happened to Paul, a grave illness or fierce persecution, he doesn't say. The people he was writing to probably knew, so he doesn't say. But his experience seems to have served as an assault on his own self-reliance. God was doing something in him. Paul's trouble pushed him to fully trust God as his deliverer, not to rely on himself. That's what he says. He says, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He's saying, God wanted to teach me to trust in him rather than myself. And so, facing death, he was driven to a deeper level of resurrection life. So if your situation drives you to a deeper level of trust in God, then it's a gift. You know, it's a strangely wrapped gift when you think about it, but it is a gift. Frees us from the anxiety of the trouble we're going through. A.W. Tozer said, how completely satisfying to turn from our limitations to a God who has none. Bible scholar N.T. Wright says, we shouldn't be surprised if living as Christians brings us to the place where we find that we are at the end of our resources and that we are called to rely on God who raises the dead. And he will bring us to that point. But he promises not to test us beyond what we can endure. So as Christians, our trouble is never pointless. We may feel at the time that it is, but it's never pointless. A purpose runs through it, whether we see it or not. And it is a call to fully trust God. Well, finally, the third purpose for trouble, Paul shows us in verse 11. It gets us praying. Right? He says, as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Nothing gets people praying like knowing that a fellow Christian is in trouble. I mean, we see that here all the time. We pray for people every Sunday. People during the week are praying. We're praying for one another when people are in need and trouble. And that's awesome. I think when Don was leading prayer today, it's a sacred moment. When we're lifting others to God, interceding for them. Think of how the church, the early church there, came together to pray for Peter when he was arrested. You remember that? And the joy they had when God delivered him. And we know that when we pray together for one another, that it increases the thanksgiving when God answers prayer. It's a shared joy, a shared trouble, and a shared joy. So God's glory is multiplied and heaven is enriched through the prayers of many. And troubles bring us to pray together. You know, I could never quite say amen to James 1 verse 2, where it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Without Paul's perspective, that's hard to do. But Paul helps us to see that trouble is part of normal Christian experience. And so is the peace of Jesus Christ. So as Christians, when trouble comes, we can allow it to create community among us. We can allow it to connect us with the experience of Jesus Christ. And we can rest in its positive purpose, comforting others, deepening our own faith, and getting us to pray together. Those so-called apostles at Corinth who thought that weakness was a disqualification, they didn't really know what they were missing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's hard. It's a hard word. It's hard to get our minds and hearts around it sometimes, Lord. We don't want to face trouble. We don't want to suffer. But we know it's a reality in life. But yet, Lord, you have shown us a path through it. And you have made the way. And you have allowed Jesus to be our example. So, Lord, we pray that as troubles come, that we would be able to see them from your perspective. And that we would have that peace, the peace of Christ, even as we go through trouble. And so we just lift up those today that are in the midst of it right now. Whether it's illness or grief, loneliness, pain, financial struggles, relational struggles, Lord, we pray that you would just speak to them in the midst of it. And by your Spirit, you would bring comfort. A wonderful comfort that only you can bring. In Jesus' name, amen.